Today's reading is from Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You may be seated, and the children may go to Children's Church.
When I was a child, I heard about my father coming home from World War II, and it helped me to understand why my father did not like boats, did not like to go on the lake. As a child, I just thought that was a natural thing. But after World War II, he came home on a ship, him and his army buddies and comrades, and it was a two-week-long trip. And from what I can tell, it probably was a bumpy, stormy ride. And he never liked boats thereafter. However, it was a two-week time for him and his fellow soldiers to decompress and deal with the issues of war. I had another friend who was telling me about his return from Vietnam. I don't remember all the exact details how he said he left, but I think something like he flew to Singapore, then to LAX, and then he was back in Amarillo. And he said, Doug, I was back home from the war within 24 hours. And the next morning, I was washing dishes with my mom. My body was in Amarillo, but my mind and soul were still in Vietnam, and I simply began to curse and break down and ran out of the house. His soul was at war within him, even though he had left the war behind, and there was no time to deal with the turmoil that he was dealing with. He had actually started a ministry in town called the Stand Down Ministry, where they'd reach out to fellow veterans. And in fact, even the VA, I worked at the VA, we had a ministry that we would go downtown and we would reach out to veterans, try to sign them up for the health care that they might need at the VA. And it wasn't only for veterans, but that was the main emphasis. Give them warm clothes, get them signed up, get them the mental health care they need, the physical care they need. And yet it was a very frustrating thing to do, because we would give out warm blankets and very high quality coats. I'm talking coats that were probably worth $100 or more to keep those that are homeless warm, and even those that weren't, a good quality coat. But oftentimes you could go around the corner from where we were doing this outreach, and they would sell their sleeping bag, their blankets, or their coats for $10 to $20 to simply drink from MD 2020, which is rock gut alcohol. Now, I can't tell you what kind of war is going on in their soul that they would forfeit a warm coat for the winter versus 6 hours of alcohol. I mean, when I don't drink coffee, I might get a headache. But these men and women are so trapped in their bondage, their post-traumatic stress disorder, alcoholism, mental health, that they would sell an item worth $100 or more for simply a bottle or two of alcohol to get them through at most 1 to 2 days. What is ravaging their soul and their mind that they would do so? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today in times of turmoil and stress, Lord, we look to you. Lord, we look to you for peace. Lord, bring us your peace. Bring those whose souls are tortured your peace, as only you can give. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Philippians 4:4 begins, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. We are in a part of Scripture that is calling for peace. And we see the opening line say, rejoice. And it doesn't say rejoice because things are well. It simply gives us that imperative, that command in our life to rejoice. To give thanks, to have a sense of gratitude is foundational for peace. And it goes on in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. In our rejoicing, let us be gentle. And this is really a difficult word to put into English. Sometimes when you take other languages, there's a certain word in the language that doesn't really transfer over, and it has like a range of meaning. And for this word, it might mean fairness or being magnanimous, being tolerant, being selfless, giving up your rights, courteous, fair, altruistic, are all in this world with this word. And the word gentle just doesn't grasp it all. But it again is a foundation for peace. To have a kind, soft, altruistic spirit and to give thanks. And this does not mean that we're weak, we're run over by people. Rather that we are kind and open-minded to the needs of other. You see, I really believe if you are harsh, if you are bitter, if you are mean-spirited, you will not find peace. You might not have a conscience. You might sleep well at night because your soul is burned, your conscience is burned. But that is numbness and coldness, not to be confused with peace. Sometimes you hear the term, I don't know how they sleep at night. And my guess is many of those people sleep quite well because their conscience is burned. But that is not peace. And then it goes into the heart of the issue that says, being thankful, having a heart of gratitude. It says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't be anxious. Don't be worrying. Don't fret. Oftentimes easier said than done. But in every situation, prayer, petition, appealing, supplicating to God. And do it with thanksgiving. Reach out to the God of the universe, our Father and our Creator. The gist is, something's bothering you, and eventually something will. There's usually a reason for your anxiety, whether it's simply you're seeing the situation wrong or you're truly under turmoil, reach out in prayer and petition to God. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Reach out to the Creator of the universe. To think about that. We are a mere speck of dust. You'll sometimes have astronomers show you a picture taken from one of our Voyager satellites out in space, probably on Uranus by Pluto, and they take a picture of Earth, and we are a small blue dot that I couldn't even pick out in the picture unless there was an arrow pointing, you are there. We are so insignificant to the size of this universe. And yet God says, I created all this, and I care about you. The atheist might use it to say, see how small and trivial you are? And I would say, yes. And yet God still calls us to reach out to Him. And to have an issue of thankfulness, of gratitude, that this God cares about us. To be thankful. To have a sense that He cares. Now, I don't think comparing usually works, but sometimes I do that because when I think about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving, have an attitude of gratitude, I do need to think about the people who have more than me. And there's a lot of people that have more than me. In fact, you'll always find people that have more than you. And you know what? Maybe some of them don't even deserve it. Maybe they're jerks. Maybe they cheat on their taxes. Maybe they cheat and embezzle money at work. Maybe they cheat on their spouse. Maybe they're just mean-spirited people, and they still have more than us. And when I compare them myself to them, I lose. And I also compare myself to people that have so much less. Sometimes when you're at our school, you'll hear a teacher say, you know, I could just use some socks and underwear for some of the kids in my elementary class. Or you see the people walking in your neighborhood who possibly are just walking for their next meth hit. And it's winter, and they're walking in a t-shirt. And it's easy to say that maybe they deserve that, but then again, it's hard to know the life that they were given. And who knows how they were abused or beaten as a child. When we compare, if we look to those who have more, that's it's easy to lose. But sometimes I think it is important to realize where we could be but for the grace of God. I grew up in a poor family. Many of you here did too. But I had parents, unbeknownst to me at the time, didn't always say they loved me, but they set me up with a loving family for success that many kids are never given. And oh, to the children who are never given that chance. So we should have a heart of gratitude and thanksgivingness for where we are. And then it says, and then in that way, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide our hearts and souls in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a difficult thing to note, because it doesn't say, and the turmoil will be taken away. The difficulty and the anxious moments, the things that are causing your anxiety will be taken away. Rather, it says peace in spite of those things, which doesn't really make any sense. It's not rational. You could say it's naive. But he says, in Christ, you will have a peace that transcends all understanding. The atheist, the person who doesn't believe in God, would say, it's a fairy tale and you're just deceiving yourself. But Christ says, I am real, I am here, I will give you a peace that transcends all understanding. Now, when I go online and I search for how to find peace, this was on the Oprah Daily, and it says how to find inner peace and happiness in the chaos. Now, I'm not sure what their definition of chaos is. My guess is it's shopping in a crowded mall and getting a ticket for illegal parking, which doesn't make me happy. But it says, breathe in, breathe out. Feel the truth that you're safe and loved. And I'm thinking to myself, what if you're not? Visualize your happy place. Act your way to deeper self-compassion. And I have no idea what that means. Make a joy list for when you need it later. Now, I can kind of laugh at that list, criticize it. I mean, it's like, I'd call it psychobabble. And now here's a better list, and I would agree with much of what this list says. How to find inner peace. Spend time in nature. Meditate. I would use the term prayer, but they say meditate. Be grateful. Take responsibility for your actions. Don't let your past mistakes define you. Move on. Love yourself. No negative self-talk. Practice acceptance and contentment and declutter. That last one, I have to admit, surprised me, but it's always good to declutter. And basically, it's good advice. But I would say they assume one thing. Complete safety. What about if you're a young, pregnant, high school girl? What if you're losing your job? Or losing your job over the holidays? Or losing the job as your children are going into college? What if you've worked your whole life and you've lost your retirement? When I look at those who return from war, that struggle, the post-traumatic stress disorder, that they would sell their soul for a bottle of liquor. What inner war is going on? Do you think decluttering is going to help them? And I say that kind of in a mocking sense. Do you think finding their happy place is going to help them? They need something much, much deeper and more relevant to their life. What if you live in the Ukraine or in Gaza or in Israel or in Taiwan where maybe a Chinese invasion is imminent? What if you've lived through slavery or the Holocaust? I don't think making a happy list is the answer to the anguish in your life. You need a true revelation of the empowered Holy Spirit in your life to turn your life over to Christ and find peace in Him in spite of all the turmoil and past hurts. Because alcohol will only numb you for so long. Drugs can only numb you for so long. The pain will return. And again, as a person who's never struggled such things, I can't imagine. But whether it's divorce, losing your job, death in a family, all those tragedies are difficult and hard on our soul. And the question is, you won't find true peace through warm, fuzzy feelings. You won't put an end to the war in your soul or the hurts or anguish by a self-help list. And even though some of those things may be very good advice, we need to seek Christ. Because I truly believe in the war-torn lives of us, the only hope is peace in Christ. And it is no accident. Finally, brothers, in verse 8, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Like I said earlier, if you're mean-spirited, if you're a harsh, bitter person, you probably won't find peace. But the words here are, think about good things. This isn't a happy list. This is about true, meaningful life. Deciding where you're going to put your heart and your efforts. This is purposeful. This is intentional. This is deep down in our soul. We are called to give thanks, to have an attitude of gratitude, to focus on gentle humility, to pray and seek God. And understand that the God of the universe sends His Spirit to bring us peace. I'm not saying we can deserve it or earn it, but we are still called to seek after it. An analogy. If you don't brush your teeth or floss your whole life, would you not be surprised if your dentist said you had cavities? And sometimes even people do floss and brush and they get cavities. So if we spurn God, if we reject God, if we're mean-spirited and bitter, if we look out for number one, whereas that word gentleness was to seek the benefit of others, to be altruistic, to have a heart servant like Christ. If we look out for number one, do you think we'll find peace? No, it says whatever is true, what is noble, what is pure, what is lovely, what is honorable, admirable, praiseworthy, think about these things. And the Holy Spirit moves as we are intentionally moving towards Christ. Not that we somehow earn it, but because of God's grace. And God works as we make our mind more Christ-like. And rather than running around in gossip and vengeance, looking to put ourselves first, we look to put others before us. We look to serve like Christ. We look to have that gentle spirit. We look to be thankful, even sometimes when we feel like we don't have all the things we should want or need. But we still look out in thankfulness to Christ. He hears us, and He gives us His peace in ways we can't understand. And then, whatever you have learned or perceived or heard from me or seen it in me, put it into practice. He's saying, live your life in such a way that it leads to peace, that it demonstrates the peace of Christ, and His Spirit moves on you. And the God of peace will be with you. Put it into practice. This is deeper than just a list. This is changing our whole heart and mind to be Christ-like. God in His grace, His presence is manifest in our life. We are called to seek out Christ, to seek Him out, to be diligent, to follow after Him. And He brings His peace to us as we seek Him. And I would have to say this, in many ways, it doesn't make sense. When you hear the stories of many people who've gone through difficult times, and they tell you how Christ was with them. So this peace is a gift from God, and we are meant to share it. Because we must remember, we are called to share it. Because as the poem or the song goes, hate is strong and mocks the song, peace on earth. This song was originally written as a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and it was written in 1864, the midst of a civil war. His son was seriously injured in the war. He did not want his son to volunteer, and yet he did against his wishes and was hurt. And he had already lost two wives. He had been widowed twice. And he's in the midst of a war that is dividing the country. And he writes these words. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail. The right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. I don't fully know Longfellow's Christian beliefs. They're questionable. Maybe he's more of a Unitarian. And yet, regardless of what his true Christian's beliefs were, he grasped the power of a living God. He was not blind to the hate that was around him. He did not ignore it. He did not run for it. He understood that hate is strong, and it mocks the very words of God. But then he realized, in whatever spiritual state he was in, that there is the living God. God is not dead, and therefore there will be peace on earth. We admit, too, for our nation, there is much to despair. Our nation has turned from God. It's hard to say that we are ever truly a Christian nation. What does that mean? But I can say this with full confidence. As a nation, we had a Judeo-Christian heritage. You might say, well, that doesn't mean separation in church and state. I'm just telling you the facts. It was a Judeo-Christian heritage that predominated our country. Yes, we had a secular government. It did not endorse a religion, but it was based on Judeo-Christian beliefs. And that has changed. So those who seek to nullify Christianity or all religion should rejoice. We have never been freer from God in our nation. We have never denied Christ more than today in our country and politics. They should take joy and comfort and rejoice in that. Yet, I would say to them, suicide increases. There's more political polarization than I've seen in my lifetime. There is a loneliness epidemic. When the Surgeon General says we are in the midst of a loneliness epidemic, drug abuse, fentanyl is rampant across our nation. crossing our borders. Crime, from shoplifting, which is rampant in some stores, to where they have to put all their items in a drugstore behind locked cabinets, to brazen theft with guns and looting. Homelessness is rampant on streets. Tent cities overtake parks. Prostitution next to elementary schools. Truly, we have banished God from our nation. But God is not dead. He is the living God, and we worship Him. And therefore, in the midst of this despair, where it seems like hate is strong and mocks the song, we hear these words: don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, appeal to God. With thanksgiving, present our requests and appeals to the living God. And then, what surpasses all rational wisdom and knowledge, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let us be a people of prayer and petition, making our request be known to God. Praying for our church, for each other, our community, our nation, our globe. When the book of James says they have not because they ask not, let us not be guilty of that indictment. But in prayer and petition, let us lift our nation, our people, our children up in prayer. Appealing to the living God, calling for His peace in our lives, for those souls who are tortured and racked by mental illness, drugs, and alcohol, whose hearts are broken by loved ones' death or divorce, or just the general hurts of life and uncertainty when a job is lost and hope is crushed. Let us pray for His peace and His hope, as those candles proclaim: last week hope, today peace. Let us pray for the living God to send His Holy Spirit in our lives, in our church, in our community, to our troubled world. To be anxious about anything, to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are a nation and a people in deep need of Your peace. Let us place our hope in You and find true peace in You. Lord, I pray for revival in our nation, in our community, in our church, in our hearts, that we be a people seeking after You. Lord, let us be a people that appeals to Your grace and mercy for Your hope and peace. We pray this, Father God, our Creator, empowered by Your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.